One of the stories you're going to hear a lot about between here and there and then after, no doubt, is the presidential debate scheduled for Thursday night in Atlanta for 90 minutes at 9 o'clock. By the way, KDK Radio will be covering that, and we'll do some post-breakdown, too, on Friday morning. Meanwhile, I caught up with Doug Saltzman, political and polling analyst, and spent a lot of his career serving United States Senator Arlen Specter to get a perspective on the rules of engagement. Doug Saltzman.
Good morning, Larry. Thanks for having me on.
It's going to be 90 minutes in Atlanta, and they flipped a coin to see who got to pick their podium, right?
Yeah, exactly. I guess if you think the right side of your face looks better or the left side of your face, which side you want to be on. Again, it's not as if you can turn to a staffer to get information. They're not allowed to consult with a staffer. There's two commercial breaks. They're not even allowed to talk to a staffer during these commercial breaks. And yeah, this one's a little different, especially since there's no audience.
Right. That is to avoid the shout outs from the crowd. I don't know who that would benefit, if there would be an audience or not, but in the meantime, and then CNN is controlling this, right?
Yeah, absolutely. This one is hosted by CNN. It's not hosted by the Commission on Presidential Debates, which has been the case in the past. So yeah, CNN has control over this one. And there's two, Jake Tapper and Dana Bush are the moderators on this one. They, of course, are co-hosts of the Sunday show on CNN State of the Union.
Doug, Paul Rasmussen here. I was curious to know if they've resolved the issue of whether or not the candidates can sit.
I'd heard that too. No, they're going to be required to stand. Last I heard, now these could change. You know, over the years, there's been what's called MOUs, Memorandums of Understanding. And for many years, those were kept secret in the campaigns. But then that changed, and they went public with those MOUs. They literally, you know, have discussions on the lights in the room, the size of the podiums, the height of the podiums, the temperature of the room.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Is at times discussed. George W. Bush, for instance, his campaign pushed hard to have it a very warm room. He lives in Crawford, Texas. If you've ever been there, I've been there. It's oppressive. 96 degrees average temperature in August and July. So he was okay with the hot temperatures. He was pleased with that. I'm sure Richard Nixon in 1960 wished the room wasn't as hot as it was for his debate with Kennedy after his makeup started to melt on his face, literally.
You and I talked about this yesterday, Doug, that the fact that on the radio, people thought that Nixon won that debate, but on television, because of that and the sweating, it tipped the other way.
Exactly. They did polling after that one, early days of polling after the 1960 debate between Nixon and Vice President Nixon and Senator Jack Kennedy. And as you mentioned, those who listened on the radio thought Nixon clearly won, a complete flip for those who watched it on TV. Not everybody had TVs in 1960. So a lot of folks listened on radio and they thought Kennedy won. And just because of his appearance, his good looks compared to Nixon.
And in this one, and this will be interesting, in that last debate between Donald Trump and Joe Biden, the mics were not muted, but both Biden and Trump have agreed to have the microphones muted when it isn't their turn to speak. I find that interesting.
Yeah, that's very different, too. As you recall, especially the first debate between President Trump and then former Vice President, former Senator Biden. There were constant battles back and forth, interrupting each other, that sort of thing that happened in that debate. It was described as rather chaotic in 2020. But yeah, I guess that new rule is sort of set to maintain order better. They try to keep them from interrupting each other, but that's hard to do. But again, with no live audience for feedback and the microphones being muted, they're not allowed props. They're not allowed notes. No notes at all. They do have a notepad with pencils, so they can take notes during it, but they can't bring notes with them. And another interesting change here, no opening statement. Usually the usual format debate begins with opening statements by both candidates. This one, they're delving right into questions right off the bat.
Doug, I would imagine we're still going to hear one candidate or the other, or probably both, saying something in the background while someone else's microphone is on. I would assume that's going to happen.
If they yell loud enough, I suppose. Right. I mean, these are directional mics, I'm sure, just for that meaning, it goes straight to the person speaking and not a wide-ranging mic that you might see at a concert or something or before a choir. So I don't think it, otherwise it would be almost a muffled noise in the background, I think,
yeah,
if you hear somebody yelling from across the stage. I don't think that's going to happen.
And this is a very early debate, and neither candidate is officially the candidate of the party yet, and they won't be until they get together for their conventions here in a few weeks. So that's unusual, isn't it?
No, absolutely. This is the earliest ever presidential campaign debate in history. They've never had one this early. This is June. People are on vacation. That's one question about how many people will be tuning in. I think it's going to be a huge audience. This is vacation season. You know, this is June. It's unheard of. Debates are usually September, October. But this is very unusual. And the next debate, again, is not until September. So we're looking at a couple of months away. It's a very unique situation, this one, that's for sure.
Download the free Odyssey app. Take us with you wherever you go, AUDACY. A lot of people just enjoying today, Paul. I think the little break from the excessive heat that we've had last week. We talked about numbers above 90, well above 90 in many cases. They're expecting thousands of high temperature records in other parts of the country again today.
And it was beautiful this morning, around 65 to 70 degrees, depending on where I was on the commute. And tomorrow morning, down to 55 for a low. That's nice.
So now the Southeast is getting hit with the heat wave. Let's see, 60 million Americans are under heat advisories, 21 states, not us for a change. The worst is South Dakota to Florida. Record temperatures anticipated. Lincoln, Nebraska, 104.
Wow.
Wichita, Kansas, 103. Greenville, Missouri, 100. And the heat's going to build back in mid-Atlantic as the week goes on. But we're going to be just above where it's going to be really severe.
Sorry about that. Getting a phone call.
Phone call? I thought we were getting some kind of breaking news alert.
Phone call from the body shop where my car's been stranded for the last week or so.
Oh, the body shop's calling you?
Yeah.
We should have answered it. You're on the air. How long are you going to have my car?
Man, I'm ready to get it back. I can tell you that right now.
You miss your old... Do you have a name for your car?
No, I don't have a name for it, but I love driving it.
Who was it? Big Boss Dave. Him and his wife named their car after Marty.
Right.
Do you remember that?
Yeah.
I don't know if that was coincidence or what.
Getting back to the heat in the Midwest, have you ever been in St. Louis in the summer?
No.
Or Memphis?
No.
Let me tell you something. Wow. Unbelievably humid. Just miserable.
You know, there are a lot of states like that that's typical. We experienced last week what is typical summer temperatures in many other places.
That's right.
And the humidity levels. Now, in Florida, even in the summer, it rarely goes close to 100 degrees Fahrenheit.
That's true.
However, with the humidity, I mean, even their temperatures and the Gulf temperatures have pushed to some records.
And the nice thing about that pattern of weather in the summer and fall in particular in Florida is you get those afternoon thunderstorms that change the dynamics. It makes it a little bearable.
And then you mentioned the flooding. So Sioux River in Sioux City, Iowa, they had up to 15 inches of rain in the region, crested more than 7 feet above the previous record.
Oh, my goodness.
And I don't know if you've seen the videos.
Yeah.
It's pretty epic.
Iowa seems to be the most heavily impacted, with 21 counties have been involved in a disaster declaration.
And then on top of that, you have the fires out west, New Mexico, California. You know, that's one thing that we don't really have. FBI offering a $10,000 reward leading to information to the arrest and conviction in connection with who set the New Mexico deadly wildfires.
They think it was set. I didn't know that.
They think it was...
Wow.
Arson. And, you know, just I'm looking right down a list across the country. heat waves in the U.S. kill more people in their homes than anywhere else. Almost half of the 3,142 people who died from heat-related ailments died in their homes. According to the National Weather Service data, part of the USA Today network, many people who die in heat waves lack air conditioning, which makes sense, or have health-related problems that can turn deadly quickly in extreme heat. Unfortunately, I don't think we've had that happen here. Although certainly heat, 45% of people who died at a known location died in their homes, making it the most common for heat-related deaths. So we get a break today from the extreme heats around the country and the nasty weather. Although it was just a week ago we had the microburst.
Wow.
Anyway.
That'll be memorable.
They're still cleaning up. I drove yesterday and still walked in North Park. There were eight really, really tall pine trees that were just snapped at the base from last Monday's storms. And that was just in one small area. People know North Park, the pickleball courts, which are really popular now, just maybe a half mile from the skating rink. Meanwhile, you never know what you're going to encounter here at Odyssey Pittsburgh. We have five radio stations, and I stepped out to get a coffee during your last newscast, Paul, and I ran into three furred creatures.
Oh, the furries are here.
Yeah, that's officially, by the way, the furries are in Pittsburgh. Remember, they sold out 11,000 hotel rooms in minutes when they announced the dates. And it's July 4th through the 7th. So we have Pirates in town with the Mets. So imagine some of those New Yorkers that come to the game that don't know what's going on.
They're not going to be prepared
And they see thousands of people dressed like animals.
Yeah.
of course, in New York, that...
Well, I don't know. Maybe for New Yorkers, it might not...
I tried to get...
Probably be unfazed.
I wanted to get Aaron to wrangle a couple of them, if we could. Aaron, do you have any success? Oh, she's still out trying to con them into coming in. Yeah, I'm just curious. Well, why do you do this?
So this is just the organizers, I assume, making media rounds.
These are dressed people. Like, they're dressed as animals.
But they're organizers who are making the media rounds, right?
I would assume so.
I mean, we've had them here before.
I have to tell the staff, do not feed the guests. There's one begging outside the window in the newsroom. 10 till 2, we'll talk to Marty here in the next few minutes, get a preview of what he's working on. In the meantime, Aaron Ferragoni, our producer, went on a wild dog chase and came up empty because the furries have left the building. So you missed them. Aaron.
Your attention, please. Your attention, please.
I did.
The furries have left the building.
They've left the building.
No, it's kind of
devastating.
Because I said to Aaron, when I saw the furries were here, there were three of them. And I said, oh, Aaron, let's see if we can get the furries on. She didn't realize I meant they're here.
In the studio.
So they're gone now.
Larry, you're a movie guy.
They're doggone. I am. I love movies.
I got some news for you.
What do you got?
From Variety. Spaceballs sequel is in development. Yes. Amazon MGM Studios and Mel Brooks is going to co-produce the movie.
He's still alive?
I know.
Oh my God.
That's really cool to hear that. Spaceballs, to me, was a very funny movie.
Spaceballs, I mean, that's 1987.
Yep. Way back.
And it was a spoof, for those that don't know, on all the Star Wars. So they had...
And the best part of it for me was the little yoga, Yoda lookalike that they called Yogurt.
And then they had a Spaceballs 2 in 1990. So this is going to be... What, do they have a title yet?
No.
So Spaceballs... did you ever see any Star Wars movies, Aaron, over the years? I'm thinking you did.
I have.
There can't be many people on the planet that don't know something about Star Wars.
Right.
Well, instead of the Force, you know, they may the Force be with you. You know, they had the Schwartz.
It's just may the Schwartz be with you.
What the?
If you.
Really funny movie.
Yeah, so this is Mel Brooks out of his brain, right? He wanted to spoof Star Wars, so he came up with Spaceballs. And they have quotes, the 25 best quotes from Spaceballs. Who puts this stuff together?
Okay, well, let's have it.
All right, you ready?
Yeah.
Let's see. They have the list. If you can read this, you don't need glasses. And they have an RV with a jet engine on it. Do you remember that?
That's the one that John Candy was dressed up as a dog, half man, half dog, called Mog.
Once upon a time warp in a galaxy very, 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 very far away, there lived a ruthless race of beings known as Spaceballs. The evil leaders of planet Spaceball, having foolishly squandered their precious atmosphere, have devised a secret plan to take every breath of air away from their peace-loving neighbor, planet Druida.
Druidia? Yep.
Druida. I can't even get that right. Can we just start over? Madon.
New movie subject.
Well, if Mel Brooks is going to be co-producing, there's a pretty good chance it's going to be fun to watch.
Yeah, so instead of... what's the guy's name? Princess Leia. They have somebody in there. I forget what her name is, but what's the guy? The
Lone Star.
And then...
they had Lone Star and then Princess Vespa.
Vespa.
Yes.
And the... instead of the Wookiee,
you had...
They got John Candy dressed as a dog.
And his name was Barf, by the way. Oh, Mel Brooks played two roles, in fact, in that one.
By the way, Mel Brooks is 97. He turns 98 this week on Friday.
Good for him.
Yeah. Spaceballs sequel. They got Josh Gad, Josh Greenbaum. It's in the works with some other stars of the future. No word on when it'll come out. Meanwhile, did you watch anything of interest over the weekend?
Oh, gosh. Of course, the excitement at the golf tournament at the end there on the 18th hole, but had to go to a playoff after that. But I also watched with great interest the Pirates game. Had it on in time to see Paul Skeens throw the first ball for a home run.
Yeah, his first pitch.
This kid from Tampa Bay just jumped on that thing and line-drived it into left field stands. And then after that, Paul Skeens shut him down. They didn't score again. He was given a huge ovation when he walked off the field after seven innings. But the Pirates just could not generate enough offense.
Against a pitcher that's, for Tampa Bay, that wasn't really that good.
So-so, I guess. They badly need to pick up some offensive punch because you can't squander performances like this from the pitching staff.
No,
and I think Dan Zangrilli posted on X not too long ago, interesting stat. I'll look for it here.
Dan Zangrilli, he does a lot of the pregame and postgames. Well, the Pirates does a great job.
Here you go. Here it is. The Pirates offense scoring a total of 14 runs in the homestand. They have 17 losses now when their starting pitcher goes at least six innings. 17 losses when your starter goes more than six innings. That's at least six innings, rather. That says everything right there.
And they got Cincinnati tonight on the road. That's who they're battling head-to-head in the division.
Yep.
So we'll see what happens there. And by the way, I did reach out to Bob Pompiani because he knows everything that is golf, right? And he said, hey, I'd love to join you, but I'm getting blood drawn. So that's kind of the response we get a lot of times. We couldn't get the furry. It's just one of those days. We had the furries within our fingertips. It's Marty Griffin.
Yeah.
Get Marty. Morning, Marty.
I like new restaurants, like finding ones.
What do you got?
Like this is kind of in your... I wanted to ask you if you knew. Severina?
I've heard of
it. West Mifflin.
I've heard of it.
I'm sorry.
Not West Mifflin.
Westview.
Westview. Yes, I have heard of it.
And it's wonderful.
I heard it's great.
There's a young man that works the front, and all homemade. I mean, I don't get any money out of this or anything. People think we do all this stuff for whatever, but I just thought it was wonderful. It was a neighborhood. Homemade pasta, homemade desserts.
Westview, they got that little downtown near the what they call the Horseshoe Bend.
Yep.
There used to be Westview Park.
I recall. Well, I don't recall, but my mom loved that place. All the Italians went there.
Yeah, they would book it. I mean, it was a mini Kennywood.
Yeah.
It was there a long, long time.
Do you remember when it... I don't remember when it went down, though. I don't...
I think it was the 80s. But anyway, that little restaurant is getting rave reviews.
It was amazing. I like the neighborhood joints. You know what I'm saying? Like homemade stuff and people sitting out front with their dogs and having a guys having a cigar.
I'll tell you another one. Is 2 miles from our studio here in Carnegie is Leo Greta.
Oh, yeah. That place rocks. Yeah.
I saw your boys all there a couple weeks ago.
It's homemade. Packed. Packed. How was your weekend? You get that stuff done for me?
Yeah, whatever you needed.
Did you get it signed?
Yeah. You got a truckload of stuff.
You know,
stuff,
I'm so. Talking to you here, and he's...
I know.
Whereas he's texting, wow,
oh,
we're supposed to be having a tease.
Oh, really?
Is that what you were doing?
Oh.
Is that what you were doing?
For 2 years, I watched you text.
He does it to me all morning long.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Raz.
Thanks for
sorry
your
to bother you, Larry.
Thanks for your support, Paul.
Wow.
If I had a video of all the time I spent locked in this room with Marty.
The whataboutism. What about you? You know, when he gets busted, try and place the blame. Look, he's still doing it.
It
Raz.
Closed
still.
September 5th, 1977,
What's
Westview
that?
Park.
Oh, wow. So that was a cute little place. If I recall, wasn't it a lot of Italians went there?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I loved it. My mom loved it. I knew that. It was very, very cool. Hey, we got this woman calling in right off the top. Man, these Ring cams caught young people coming into her house. Can you imagine? Then stealing her car. I mean, these Ring cams, she got two kids in this house, and these kids are still out there creating havoc in Carrick. We're going to talk to her. I'm fascinated by what they're capturing on these scanners, these Pittsburgh scanner guys.
Oh, they have a huge following.
You know, their lives have been threatened.
No kidding.
Why?
People want to find them. They think they're creating terror.
All they're reporting is what's
you
on
think.
The scanner.
Right. It's ridiculous. How about those storms yesterday, man? Whoa.
Got serious there for a while. Tornado warnings in what? Washington and Greene County?
Mm-hmm.
Fayette County also yep. added?
That's right.
No word of any serious damage.
It's a really intense 30-minute period there, like 4:45 to 5:15.
And that's the cooler air we got in now.
It's amazing. So all these people on these diet drugs, what is it, Ozempic, the big one?
Ozempic's the one
Wegovy.
Most people know.
What is it?
Wegovy, and then there's the one with an M.
Manjaro. All these
you.
Companies are now making smaller clothes because people are losing so much weight. Is that weird?
Mm-hmm. And food companies are repackaging
yes.
their smaller portions now.
Well, maybe.
I'm going to get fat just for the hell of it, just to go against the grain. You know what I'm saying? Boom.
You've never been overweight in your life,
yes.
have you? Were you?
Always.
Serious?
No. Yeah, I'm kind of, sort of, but not really.
But you work out.
Tons. I'm insane about it.
Ever since I met you,
I have a problem. Yeah, how about.
I know people like you.
How about. These UPMC guys are still off the job, the union guys, because of the permit issues with Gainey and his people. So 150 union
games.
Guys.
Playing,
huh?
They're
playing games. Playing games.
Now, the Post-Gazette excoriated Gainey in an editorial about this.
Yeah, they did. He has not been that... How long has it been since we had Gainey on the air? 6 months.
At least.
Right?
Yeah.
You think they're blowing us off?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do too. But it's not us that they're blowing off. A lot of the big players in town say they're blowing them off. A lot of the movers and shakers. They're trying to get candidates right now to run against Gainey. Corey O'Connor's name's coming up a lot. What do you think? Corey probably doesn't know this.
Well, he's the Allegheny County Controller, but he spent most of his time as a Pittsburgh City Councilman.
He did.
Well, he knows the city. He's a legacy politician.
He is.
And that's, in many people's ideas, a good thing.
Also, big increase in the number of folks hospitalized over this heat. Makes sense, right? I mean, if you don't take care, right?
Well, if you have any compromising, you know, pre-existing conditions, the heat can really affect you in a hurry.
Now, this North Park thing, you walk out there.
I walked past that yesterday.
Man, Larry, that's troubling to me.
They still have it taped off where the cyclist, that unfortunately, this Central Catholic teacher who was a, you know,
avid,
very accomplished mountain bike cyclist and was on a trail and hit those live wires last Tuesday evening.
Now, they try to blame him, saying he went past this caution tape. Here's my concern, and the PUC's looking at this. Duquesne Light was notified 12 hours before he was electrocuted about those lines down. And county police called them, Larry, and said, hey, this is a pedestrian area. What happened? No, what really happened?
Well, they got to get to the bottom of
it. That poor man and his family. Everybody. His daughter's getting married in the next week.
Next week?
Yeah.
Ugh.
Come on,
man. That's tough to hear.
Horrible, brother.
Bob Anderson.
Yes.
Coming up, Marty Griffin. Get Marty.